Well, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Yeah, see, he caught you off guard, so you don't realize that today, as First Advent, is the new year of the Christian calendar. It's a Happy New Year, and I think, I was saying at the earlier service, I think some year for Advent 1, we should have a champagne brunch reception after the 10 o'clock with hats and noisemakers, wake up the fraternity boys over there and get them wondering what they do at that church over there. But this year for Advent, the scriptures are chosen to get us to go back to the basics, to get us to remember what is it truly about. It's almost sort of like the Christmas carol with Ebenezer Scrooge. This morning we have the ghost of Christmas yet to come, or the ghost of Christmas future. Now, the intent for that ghost, for those of you that are familiar with that story, is to do what? To get Ebenezer Scrooge to adopt a more caring attitude in this life. Why? So that he wouldn't suffer for all eternity in the next, like his partner, Jacob Marley. Through the three readings, we're shown the reality that the end, the culmination of all things, is going to happen. It's not that it might, but it will occur. And when this happens, we're going to see true peace, true reconciliation come about. And even at the same time, as we see judgment and justice, those things are going to be held together. We're shown a great image of God in the midst of us in a way that's real and tangible, in a way that we really haven't seen him yet in our life. But as we've seen before, it means we have a purpose here and now. There's actually a meaning to our existence. As I said before, we're not saved for heaven. I think it's the biggest lie that we've been fed in the Christian life, in the Christian church. We haven't been saved for heaven, we've been saved for the new creation. It's not about just biding our time while we're here on earth, making sure that we live a comfortable and easy life, making sure that we have a good retirement plan, and then wait till we die, and then we get to heaven. No, God is calling us here and now. God is calling us in the present. We're saved now, and we need to be living for him now. God wants us to be part of the solution in bringing about the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus tells his disciple, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." I think it's a great question. Are we ready? Are we living in expectation of Jesus' return? Or have we been lulled to sleep by the enemy in our consumeristic, self-serving society? Fortunately, just in light of the last few days, I think, unfortunately, many of us living not as God desires, but as the world desires and as we desire. Sadly, I think there are many of us that profess Christ that live as enemies. So I shared on Thanksgiving morning a post I recently saw on Facebook, and maybe some of you have seen it as well. And the thing is, the reason it's funny is because it's true. It says, "Black Friday. Because only in America people trample each other for sales exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have." Though, before we get all high and mighty and start pointing fingers at everybody, what we really need to do is take a hard look at ourselves. How are we preparing for Christmas yet to come? Are we preparing as God desires or as we desire? Paul gives us a great illustration in the book to Romans. And it's a wonderful question he asks. He says, and I think we need to ask, how are we laying aside the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light? Have we woken up to the realities that we no longer live in a Christian culture? Or do we allow ourselves to remain asleep to the subtleties of our lives, which sadly are often counter to God? One commentator puts it this way, says, the call to vigilance in Matthew is echoed by the call to wake up in Romans. To wake up is to become aware the time has come for action. To be on watch is to sustain the response to the wake-up call over time and not lose heart. It is to wait with expectation. The call to such expectant waiting, waiting that remembers the end, is the hallmark of Advent every year, and indeed is to characterize our lives as disciples of Jesus at all times. Yet we live in a culture in the United States that has forgotten how to wait, much less wait expectantly. We want what we want now. We expect it to arrive on time, and we're anxious if we don't get what we want promptly, and bored or annoyed if the coming is delayed. It's often conceived in the prayer, Lord, grant me patience and grant it to me now. What does expectant waiting look like? I think Jesus gives us pretty good guidance. It's not about looking up, but looking around. The Son of Man comes in the most ordinary of life. Jesus came in the midst of us eating and drinking, in the midst of working, in the fields or in the mills. See, what we do, how we live, what we place as a priority in our lives matters. It certainly matters now, and it absolutely matters at the end. How we are preparing for Jesus' return matters. Well, as you know, there have been numerous predictions on when that day is going to be. And actually, when I was researching it, it goes back to hundreds of years before Jesus even came on the scene. People were predicting when the end was going to be. But the one I remember the most, and maybe you do too, was in 2011 in Harold Camping. Do you remember him? He predicted that the rapture and devastating earthquakes would occur May 21st, 2011. God would take approximately 3% of the world population straight up into heaven, and then there would be turmoil and horrible things, and the end would finally occur 5 months later on October 21st. Now, he kind of ignored the fact that he had previously predicted the judgment day would occur on September 6th, 1994. Obviously, that didn't happen. Well, when May 21st came and went, he revised his prediction, saying that it wasn't an actual rapture on the 21st, but a spiritual judgment had happened on May 21st. And actually, both the physical rapture and the end of the world would occur on October 21st. After the October date came and went, we didn't hear much from Harold Camping anymore. Later on, in a private interview, he actually admitted that he no longer believed that anyone could know the time of the rapture or the end of the world. Often, this passage in Matthew is used to support the notion of this idea of a rapture, that believers are going to be whisked and taken off of the earth, while those left will face judgment. Sadly, individuals such as Camping ignore the fact that the ones taken in Matthew are actually compared to ones having one's house broken into and robbed of all its valuables. See, the taker is not God, but the enemy, with the ones left as the ones who have survived the culling, who have been prepared and ready for that day. See, if he really studied those passages, the ones left was actually a good thing. Further, individuals like Camping seem to ignore kind of the rest of the passage where Jesus makes it quite clear that no one apart from God himself is going to know the exact date. That was part of my thing. It's like, if Jesus doesn't know the date, some random man named Harold Camping is? So instead of trying to figure out how much time we have left, We need to be using the time we have in the present so that whenever that time does come, we're found living as God desires. We are found living and acting as agents for Christ. My prayer is that when it is time for me to come face to face with Jesus, He will look at me and state, as He does in Matthew, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." How awesome would that be if when that day came, each one of us would hear Him say that? "Well done, good and faithful servant." So this Advent, let us leave the things of God to God. Let's live today in action and attitude as Jesus calls us to. Let us be seeking His desires, His wills, His priorities, that we'd be part of the solution. That in our actions here at St. Luke's, how we interact with others in our daily jobs, in our daily lives, that how we treat others, mainly how we live out each day, would play a part in bringing about the peace and reconciliation that are hallmarks of the kingdom of God. May this Advent be an expectant waiting for Christmas yet to come, that we would be found living as God desires, not as we do. Amen.